This is The Worth Report. Each week, we'll bring you financial news that you can immediately use to plan for your financial future. If you have questions for the show, call us anytime at 980-288-4022. Now, here are your hosts of The Worth Report, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Robert Reich, welcome.
Thank you.
What's the basic argument here?
The argument is that inequality is bad for everyone, not just the middle class and the poor. 95% of the gains, the economic gains, since the recovery began in 2009, are going to the top 1%. Meanwhile, the median household income keeps dropping, adjusted for inflation. Well, where are people going to get the money they need to keep the economy going?
Is it not plausible that what's happening is that we're living in a more and more skills-intensive world economy, and that some people, perhaps because of who their parents married and their natural endowments and certainly their cultural environment, just have more of those skills than everybody else, and they're getting rewarded for it?
Well, undoubtedly, that's part of the story, but we also know that we have less upward mobility than any other advanced country.
Good Saturday, and welcome to The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, here with my good friend, Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, our brand promises to bring you news that you can immediately use to help you to manage your financial affairs. And we'll also provide commentary on local, state, and national affairs that will help you to navigate this very confusing world of personal finances. Glenn, how you doing this morning, guy?
Doing great, man. Well, you know what? I'm doing all right.
That's good.
No, well, it'd be good if I was doing great, right?
Yeah,
but I'm not doing great,
listen,
Nick.
I'm trying
to give you a point, man.
Man, listen, man. I want to get good to great, man. That's where I want to be,
okay,
man.
Okay, yeah, all right. I got you.
That is the deal, man. That is the deal,
But look. I got to tell you, a couple things have happened this week that I just got to share with you. One is this is now January. Mm-hmm. So I am dealing with working with clients and people I've met who just really overspent over the holiday. And now those credit cards have come back to roost.
Have they really?
And making sure that people plan properly. I don't know if you know this, but people actually spend on their credit cards and not think about what they're spending.
Really?
Not knowing that there's a consequence to the action of buying something.
So wait a minute. You mean to say that amazing tax cut, those checks that people are receiving now and will be receiving in February, the debt provides some relief for folk in terms of spending? We talked about this several weeks ago in terms of, you know, the behavior that this sort of tax relief will provide for some.
Well, just let me tell you, first of all, the tax cuts really don't start until 2018, so you won't even get the tax benefits till next year. So if you're already spending that money, that's a problem.
Well, that's not what the president said. He said those checks will be coming tomorrow.
So that's the first part. But really, just looking at your spending, making sure, and we say this all the time on the show, I say it all the time everywhere, watch what you spend, even in December. Christmas is not all about gifts. It's about love. And
Wow. Sometimes
love is free.
Wow. Well. You're getting emotional here,
yeah,
man.
So,
that's right. That's good stuff.
So,
I like that.
So that's one thing. So I'm dealing with that. But the other piece is, and I want to do a show about this, about salary inequities in a relationship. When one spouse makes dramatically more than the other, how do you handle that? And how do you come into a marriage instead of being two independent units, really coming together as one, especially if you're getting married and you're over the age of 30?
How do you do that?
Because unfortunately, I've seen several relationships grow apart, together for a couple of years, great people. And because the finance, I think everything financial, I'm sure it's probably some other things too.
Oh, yeah.
But because they didn't have the financial, really, they really weren't together financially.
Sure.
Yeah, and their financial health was really poor. collectively together.
Right.
They're no longer together.
That I can see that. In fact, you know, my wife and I teach couples ministry at Park Church.
Yeah.
And that's so right. You know, we've got a number of couples. In fact, you know, this idea of the show, we'll have to do this because I'm certain there would be a few couples who would love to come on and talk about how they've sort of navigated this situation, because we talk about it in every week in some kind of way. So oftentimes not specifically finances, but that's at the base of it. But even deeper than that, it is how they come together and make decisions, right? Because, again, this notion of marriage is not about the individual. It's really about being other-centered, right? Looking through your mate's eyes, right? And trying to develop some level of appreciation and respect for what they want, because ultimately it's a union and it's very complicated. It's, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. It's very, very, very complicated stuff.
Glenn, I would be curious, when did that really start sort of happening? Cause I mean, you go back to the 50s, 60s. I mean, even to a degree, the 70s, maybe early 80s, I think it was sort of the way things were. The man made more money than the woman. If the woman even worked, you know, but I think now there is a lot more power struggle in relationships when it comes to finances. When did that really sort of start?
Well, it's interesting. You take back, and this is what I've heard, and actually what I've seen, is during that period, there was such an inequity in rights for women.
Absolutely.
And so mothers taught their daughters to say, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be better than me.
Mm-hmm.
So better than me means being financially independent. So working, going to school, working somewhere, and having your own money. Therefore, you don't have to go through some of the things that I've gone through. And because of that, we have changes. Many, many of them fantastic. Our economy would not be where it is if we didn't have diversity. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact.
That's right.
However, how does that change? Because fathers still taught their sons the exact same thing. You know, and this is what I'm thinking. I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but I just play one on TV.
Yeah.
but so there lies the issue. And then the other part I would say is the lack of, when it comes to your finances, lack of transparency and communication.
Right.
So parents sharing with their children the good, the bad, and the ugly, so they can be prepared and not have some false sense of what things should look like financially.
Well, this is good. So let's level set this. Right now, as we look at higher education and we look at access for women in science and math and MBA programs, medical school, you go away across the board, women are overrepresented in these fields. However, something peculiar happens, right, in the workplace. They tend to not be in the leadership positions that their background and experience in education would suggest they're skilled to do. And so there's this power dynamic that happens in the workplace, and it plays out in public life as well. That it's now really we're at a tipping point with this sexual harassment, you know, dynamic, right? Because that's at the base of this. There's this power dynamic that's happening. And, of course, women's voices, whether it's around their treatment at the workplace in terms of, you know, sexual harassment, or equal pay for equal work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. Yeah. And we've said this before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when women are allowed to lead organizations operate differently, right? So there's a lot of issues that's happening here in terms of men and women and their relationships and how they're being redefined, you know, those old rules. And Glenn, you talked about it a moment ago. I suspect at some point, you know, parents wanted their daughter to marry a rich guy.
Yeah.
Right? And your life will be better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That model, for all kinds of reasons, particularly in the 60s and 70s, that doesn't work, right? And so, you know, I know we have two daughters, you know, and our daughters are very skilled. In fact, our oldest daughter just purchased a home in Alexandria, Virginia, you know.
She's
an attorney. I mean, you know, that's, so I suspect, you know, that as she meets young men, you know, that's pretty impressive stuff.
Bar is set very, very high.
The bar is set very high, right?
So you got to be a prince.
Pretty much.
Right. So they got to act like they got some sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because she doesn't need them. the way
that's right.
That some other women might need a guy economically.
Yeah.
So that changes the rubric. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As I was mentioning in terms of college going and college graduation rates and all these science and technical fields, women are coming out skilled and ready to roll.
Well, the mindset on this thing is a little odd, too, though, when you think about it, especially when it comes to equal pay. I don't know if you heard the other day, Liam Neeson, an actor.
Yes.
I'm sure you've heard of him. The Taken guy, special set of skills.
Yeah, special set of skills.
He was asked about the inequity in pay with actresses and actors. And then she went on to ask, would you be willing to take less money to help, you know, sort of fill that gap? No. So this mindset is there are men believe, yes, women should be paid equal pay, but they're not going to give up any of their pay to see that it happens. You know what I mean? So it's a very odd thing to navigate there.
It is. So let me give you a sort of a historical example of this in terms of diversity. And I think about this case, a great deal. So several years ago, there was a scholar, his name is the late Derrick Bell. He was the first African-American tenured law professor at Harvard University. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant guy. He was responsible for producing so many legal minds. Barack Obama was in one of his classes. So many people have come through his program. And Harvard, at that point, had not hired a tenured African-American woman. And he decided that he would resign if Harvard did not hire a tenured African-American woman. And because Harvard went through, they had a couple people in the pipeline. Lonnie Guinier, I think, was one of the people back then. You might remember her. She was a nominee for attorney general under Bill Clinton. And he ended up resigning.
Mm.
Because Harvard, after like 30 years, at the institution, he resigned. Now think about that for a minute. This is the point you're making, like the Leah Nelson sort of example, right? Now, this is over 20 years ago or so. Derrick Bell, he's a man of great integrity. And he said, listen, I'm going to resign unless you guys get it together. And they took too long and he resigned, But then they did hire someone. But the bottom line is that's the kind of courage and integrity, right, that's really needed. And I just thought that was so impressive. So whenever I think about this gender equity issue and men, as when you and I serve on the Women's Intercultural Exchange Board, we represent the champions, Glenn and I, as advocates for gender equity. That's the kind of integrity and courage that I just think about. And that's why this work becomes really, really important. You need that kind of courage, right?
Yeah.
And conviction.
So have you seen the... There's a kind of getting off topic a little bit. Well, actually, it's still on the same topic. There's an issue with Netflix right now with Monique, the actress.
Oh, I saw this where she turned down
$500,000.
Yeah, $500,000 to do
a Netflix special.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
But yeah, because she feels like she is the most accomplished comedian out there and she deserves more money. So Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, they received $20 million for theirs.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer.
Yes.
She received $11 million, then came back and renegotiated $2 million more because of how successful her show was. Mm-hmm. So Monique feels like she's underappreciated. What do you feel in that environment when, I'm going to give you my thoughts by giving you the question, the numbers aren't the same. When one number is... one rating is dramatically higher than the other one, is that still gender inequity?
I think you're doing, you're asking basically, does she have the same viewership
Right.
But when it comes to media and stuff like that, I feel like it's a bit unfair because it's so hard to quantify who actually, why did this person, is somebody going to sign up for Netflix because Monique has a special on there now? I don't know. I don't know. Do I think that people who have Netflix will be excited that she's on there? Yeah, I do believe that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, those numbers alone, just by the sheer numbers, I think it would be, in my opinion, it's a bit disgraceful on Netflix's part that they would even suggest that, hey, we thought that was a good offer. Yeah. When, right. when these people,
I know.
You know, and
right.
I'm not, listen.
Right.
And she's won an Oscar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, she,
right.
you know, listen,
right.
I don't discount Dave Chappelle
right.
And Chris Rock and Amy Schumer. I'm not discounting how good they are, but mm-hmm. it seems right. to me Netflix is discounting how good Monique is. So,
well clearly, $500,000, man, that's like $5.
Yeah, know, well, yeah.
You know, I mean, for an Oscar winner, I mean, that right. is like the height of insult in and of itself.
Okay.
If the person is, you know, black or Asian, you know, just in and of itself, it's just such an insult, right? And so, maybe on some level, you know, Monique is, it, you know, this is a tough industry, right? And you have to have a thick skin, you know, you have to kind of think very highly of yourself. I mean, that's what this is all about, right? And, you know, quite frankly, Monique, I've not, you know, paid a lot of attention to what she's done lately, but for her to perhaps describe herself in such a way, you know, that may be a little overstated, you know.
Okay.
But that be that as it may, she's an Oscar winner, $500,000. It's like an insult.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like crazy. Then you got people $20 and $50 million. I mean, give me a break here.
Well, what I find most interesting about it is how people perceive it, in the sense that, you know, we go back a few years, some years ago, Dave Chappelle turned down $50 million. From
Correct.
Comedy Central, right?
That's
and
right.
we called him an idiot. Like, how could you do that?
Right.
Who turns down $50 million? He wasn't turning down the money because he was turning it down because of his principles. So people didn't see that. And now people are looking
right.
at Monique going, who are you to turn down five? You're an idiot. Like, and
right.
it's like, she's not turning. It's the principle.
It's
so
the principle.
People
That's
have
right.
this. People are so focused in on yeah. the money, so hyper focused on the money aspect
yeah.
of it, and never the principle of it.
That's
like
right.
I'm sure people probably looked at that guy that resigned from Harvard and said,
yeah.
"What an idiot! Who resigns a tenured
yeah.
job for? It's not the job,
yeah.
man. It's,
yeah.
the
it's the principles
and my beliefs
yeah,
involved in
no,
this.
You're right.
And I think that the outside world has gotten so, or from an outside perspective, has gotten so twisted and so. Sort of distorted, people can't really, they can't see the principle involved
right.
in it anymore, you know? And I think
right.
that makes me sad.
Yeah.
That makes me sad because
yeah.
whether she deserves more or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
If she thinks she deserves more, then I would say, yes, she deserves
yeah.
more. She's
yeah.
the one that puts the value on herself.
Got it.
Yeah, well, that's
Got
a
it.
Great point. That's a great point you make. You know, lines have become blurred around some of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When people are expressing, you know, a sense of integrity over issues that matter, whether we agree with the general issue or not,
mm-hmm.
You know, we look at that as people have their motives and intents and, you know, and so forth. But in some cases, it is simply that,
yeah.
you know, folk are insulted and they're just not willing to go along. And I think that's fine.
Well, to bring it back to finances real quick,
mm-hmm.
too, Glenn, let me ask you this. Do women still, for the most part, are they sort of quietly behind the scenes? They really kind of do still run most of the financial decisions in homes that you see? I mean, when you deal with couples?
It depends. Many of them do.
Yeah.
Many of them do.
Despite the fact that the man probably, or the male in the relationship, or the larger earning partner, let's not.
Absolutely. I mean, I work with some athletes and coaches who are just busy, and executives who are just so busy. They don't like, my wife takes care of all the bills. She takes care of this. She makes the decisions financially. I just go and I bring the money home and she gives me my allowance. And I've seen that. And then I've seen, you know, many, many other ways. But for the most part, that tends to be the case in those when there's huge disparity. The question becomes when she makes dramatically more. Now who's handling what? So it takes a very strong man to be able to handle that. One who doesn't have a lot of insecurities.
Yeah.
So and then it takes a special part for the woman to make sure that he's included. The other part will be when you're close to 50-50. Now, how do you come together? It's all about being one unit.
Yeah.
It tends to be easier when there's a huge disparity,
right.
but when the closer mm-hmm. we get together, it becomes mm-hmm. more, it's easier
right.
to become more independent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
the real take is having 100% transparency
yeah.
and staying together. That's the solution
yeah.
and working as one. I just talked to a client who's getting ready to get married, and that was the core of my discussion with her. Was and she makes more than her fiance, dramatically more.
Mm.
And we talked about how transparency is going to be so important.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to do a prenuptial agreement.
Mm.
If that's the case, then what's yours is his,
right,
and vice versa, and you got to be comfortable with that.
Right.
So just like you would the other way around.
Right. So you know, full transparency, we've had these conversations before, right? And you know, I am, you know, excited to sort of join the ranks of whom you describe as strong men.
And then there are some exceptions.
That's right.
Go on,
of men whose, you know, wives who, you know, earn more. But yet, one of the things that's interesting about Vijay and I, and these are other couples, so aside from that point, the initial point is who sort of manages the finances, right? Mm-hmm. There are numerous couples that I know whose the husband may make more, but the wife makes lots of decisions around the finances related to children, a whole range of issues, right? Yeah. And so at the end of the day, for me, it's kind of like the sort of mental map in your mind. How do you think about that? Because we have these embedded values about our personal worth being equated to our financial worth, right? And how that plays out in a relationship. That's where it gets really, really dysfunctional. You know, jobs come and go.
Great point.
Right?
Great point.
You know, my God, you know, I mean, I have so many friends in the financial services space who, you know, their jobs have kind of gone away or they've been in transition, right? We're in an upside down sort of world. And if you define yourself based on your job.
Or money.
Right? Or money. You know, I mean, job and money are sort of temporal things, right? But when you're married, you know, that's the long haul, you know? And so, you know, if you confuse those, man, it gets complicated. If that's your mental map that I'm running things because I'm making more money, what happens when that's not the case? Mm-hmm. Or what happens when your health undermines your ability to be the so-called bread? I mean, there's a lot of dynamics here.
Absolutely.
Right? So at the essence of it, it's about the relationship and it's about trust and it's about the future. What kind of relationship do you want to have?
Yeah.
Because we had a show before about one of the key reasons relationships fail, and one of them is finances, inability to manage finances, right? We even talk about financial infidelity. We've had all these conversations, right?
That was a great one.
Right? It was incredible. So we have to kind of keep our mental map together in terms of what's our narrative as a relationship.
Well, that's why I think it's so important for people to reach out to people like you. Because, you know, when it comes to finances, man, it's not a bad idea to have a third party there.
Absolutely.
To kind of help, because some of those decisions you're going to make with each other, you're going to make them and you're going to regret that you made them because you really thought we should have gone a different direction, but you gave in because she makes more money or whatever it may be. Like I said, that's why you should reach out to people like Worth Financial at 980-288-4022 or on the web at worthadvisors.com. I just thought I'd throw that out.
I appreciate that.
How about that?
And here's the deal on how all this really ties in to what's going on now. You really need to get your financial house in order. Overspending doesn't work. And the real issue is your opportunity cost is amazing right now on what you're missing out on. Our gross domestic product, the numbers just came out this week, rose 2.6% after 3.2% in the prior period. However, consumer spending, which is the biggest part of this, is up 3.8%. So you've got consumer confidence rolling into this year.
Right.
So take the tax plan for whatever it is. People are assuming that things are going to get better. People are going to spend. If they spend, companies make more money. Companies make more money. Their taxes have gone down. Therefore, their profitability goes up. So guess what else goes up? The stock market, their particular stock. Why aren't you invested in it? You spent all your money buying their products, but you don't own any of it. That's the problem. That's what needs to change in 2018. You need ownership. Period. Apple, you got an iPhone, you got an iPad, you got a Mac, you've got all of those things, but you don't own Apple stock that's gone up over 40% year over year.
Yeah.
Why not? So this is the mind shift that we're going to be focusing on and talking about. And if your relationship isn't in order, you don't have transparency in your life about what's going on, if you can't humble yourself enough to say, I need to go see Glenn or somebody like him, even though it's only one.
Right.
Then there is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, listening to the show listening to Nick and I and Will, hopefully will change that mindset. And that's the goal for this year, is that to make sure that you focus on the things that are important and take advantage of what's out here.
Right.
Lower your taxes. We're going to talk about, we've been talking about it.
Yes.
Ad nauseum, probably, about this new tax plan. Right. If you plan properly, there's some huge benefits for you. And then also, go ahead and make some money. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we're going to drill down, too, on this issue, too, in terms of how the tax plan is affecting North Carolinians, right?
Yeah.
Because the special task we have here, Glenn, I think on this show, is we're speaking about wealth creation, right, to a select group of people that are more able, right, to really participate in that. And we're trying to encourage others who may not know they can participate, right, involved. But then at the same time, we recognize that one out of every eight people in North Carolina are living in poverty, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that we're trying to maybe educate and share information to at least two segments, in a sense, right? Because in Charlotte, and we know because of the 50 out of 50, you know, rating that Charlotte got by Harvard to suggest that we're the worst city in the nation for poor people to make it.
That's right.
That we realize there are two, at least two segments in this city. There are those who are doing well, and then there are those who are doing terrible. And I learned the other night, I went to a presentation at Goodwill, by a woman who shared her recent book, Catherine Eden. And the book is called $2 a Day, right? How the Poor Make It in America. And so there is a huge segment of our population that are way under the poverty level. They are off the grid, and they are making $2 a day. You know, they're not even involved in the social sector sort of networks, whether it's, you know, Department of Social Services, SNAP, you know, nutrition program, food nutrition. They're not even on that, right? They are just catching hell, right? So what we know is a living wage in Charlotte is like $27 a day. That's like, you know, comes out to like $53,000 a year. That's like a living wage in Charlotte. That's huge, right? Yeah. And that is not the case for so many people. They are like way under. Way under. So our task is to talk to both groups. And who does that? That's why this is so unique. Who speaks to that?
Well, it almost feels like there's, you know, that, like, the folks you're speaking about, Nick, who are truly poor and living under the poverty. And then it's almost like there's this class of, like, it's kind of like wealthy poor, right?
Yeah.
Where the working poor.
Where they, like, they're getting by, but that's all they're doing. They're getting by.
That's right.
And it's, you know.
That's right.
The gap beyond that is just, it feels like it's a million miles away. It feels like it's the moon.
Right.
You know, and I feel like a lot of people look around and see financial stability and their future as the moon. Right. It's too far. I'll never get there.
That's right. These are people, in many cases, Will, that may receive food stamps. They may receive, you know, certain benefits. But they realize, and they're working poor, but they realize that if they make too much money, they lose those benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just it. They're trapped.
Now that's an amazing scenario that we're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not getting cash. They're getting money for rent, money for food, but they're not getting cash. They're cash poor, right? So this is a whole conversation that we need to drill down on next time.
Well, that's really what we're doing. That's really the real foundation of this show. We could be talking about, like, there are many other shows that talk about how to retire and roll over your money, and they're just trying to get your money.
Yes.
We're on here for change.
Yes.
So this is our forum to take a stand to make a difference in this city and really across the country.
Yes.
You have been very successful in your career, and so have I, to be able to work with people who are worth tons of money.
That's right.
We're going to take those same principles and share it with each and every listener so you can apply it. Mm-hmm. So you may hear a term that's $1 million or $5 million or whatever that number is. Apply it to $1 and make the change where you are. And I promise you, it will make a difference in your life.
There you go. Well, it's always a pleasure, Glenn, sitting here with you. I missed you guys over the last week, and I'm back in the
seat.
Yeah,
we're glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, man.
I am. I'm feeling great, and so it's good to see you guys, and another great show.
I'll see you next week, man.
All right, man. Stay up, okay? All right. Bye-bye.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.